I'm preaching from behind here this morning because we're going to interweave word and sacrament as they should be. We're going to work through a communion prayer as I talk about what we do and why we do what we do in several elements of our celebration of the Lord's Supper. First, of course, let us pray. Dear God, as your word is preached and heard, as it's lived out and enacted in sacrament, help us to understand. Help us to be closer to you in all of this, and closer with each other, and with people of every time and every place. And most of all, help us to be in communion, in fellowship, in oneness with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Mark, let's just go ahead and put up the Corinthian scripture, and we'll just leave it up through the whole this part of the whole service. We begin with 1 Corinthians 11:23. I receive from the Lord what I also hand on to you. In this specific instance, I received it from the people of the Lord, and not specifically directly from the Lord. Since February, I've met with 16 different groups here around Covenant Church, talking about our strengths, what we can do better, and what are our dreams for our congregation. And it has been overwhelmingly confirmed that we love having communion every week. It has become part of our DNA. It has become part of who we are. In almost every mention of communion, the deacons are also thanked profusely for the extra effort it takes to set up and serve communion each and every week. I receive from the Lord what I hand on to you. At the Lord's table, we begin with the invitation. The Eucharist was given to us by Jesus Christ himself at the Last Supper. I love this. I'm just going to read it directly. Before church governments were devised, before creeds were formalized, even before the first word of the New Testament was written, the Lord's Supper was firmly fixed in the heart of Christian faith and life. This is not the church's property, this table. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites anyone who needs him this day to share the feast which he has prepared for us. Many years ago, for years, our family made a spring trip to Glorieta, New Mexico. I don't know if you've ever been to the Christian Conference Center there. We had our Wee Kirk, our small church conference there for years and years. And back in 2008, our oldest son, Chuck, went with me to the conference. And on the second afternoon was our break. And he asked if we could play mini golf at their 18-hole little course. And I'll tell you, that was a siren song for both of us. I was ready. So we changed into our exercise clothes, walked from our dorm across campus to the main lobby to get balls and clubs. We asked the nice lady there, and she said, "That'll be $2 each." Don't carry money in my sweats. So Chuck and I walked back across campus, and he ran upstairs, grabbed a $5 out of my billfold. We go, and there's a second nice lady there. She takes our $2, and then she says, "I need to see a photo ID." So Chuck and I trek back across campus, and as we're doing so, I said, "Chuck, when you run upstairs, grab my wallet, my passport, a sample of my DNA, anything we might need." So we go back to the lobby, and the nice lady handed us two very used golf balls and two very worn-out putters, and she took my $4. Then she took my license and looked at it and studied it, looked at me and said, "Your beard and hair were darker 4 years ago." But I said, "But it really is me. Believe me, it's me." So she starts writing down the number on her little sheet. Then as I'm reaching across to take my license back, she pulled a box out from under the counter, put my license in the box, and put it back under the counter. I was not going to get it back until after we finished playing putt-putt and we returned these two worn-out balls and these terrible putters. At the conference that night, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. Reverend Andy Dearman, well-named, dear man. He's at the communion table. He's behind the communion table. And he begins the invitation with these words. Anyone who believes is welcome to the table. We don't take photo IDs here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Anyone who needs the Lord this day is welcome to come to the table. I had to about pawn my life away to get used golf balls. But the Lord of all creation has invited each and every one of us to come to the most important gift ever given humanity, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. How great is the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything, including yourself, giving us yourself without checking IDs. I receive from the Lord what I pass on to you. After the great Thanksgiving, after the invitation, we come to the great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is so important to this sacrament that it is named Thanksgiving. Eucharist is the Greek word for giving thanks. And here we give thanks with grateful hearts for all that God has done for us. We remember and praise God for all of God's mighty acts in the past, here now, in the present, and in the future. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for all things, for creating us and calling all of this that you have created good, very good. And Lord, we thank you for your providence and care and protection for us always. We thank you that you established your covenant with Noah and Abraham and Sarah and with Moses and David and in Jesus Christ, the new covenant in your body and blood. And Lord, give us this day the witness of the prophets, the witness of the scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us Moses in the deliverance that you have given us, in your boundless love, despite all the times we turn away. And Lord, we thank you for the prophets who point out when we turn away and always call us back. And ultimately, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is in this gathering of believers, in our hearts, in our gathering, in your word, and in sacrament. We especially thank you for his birth and life and death. And his resurrection. We thank you for his promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit and his promise that he will come again in the day of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this sacrament. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. So I receive from the Lord what I hand on to you. Now we come to my favorite part of the communion rite, the favorite part of the ritual, the calling down of the Holy Spirit upon the gifts and the people of God. This is drama, but not magic. We need to go back and realize why I'm standing behind this table and you aren't, in order to understand that this is drama but not magic. Now, I'm standing behind this table not because I have been ordained and it has given me superpowers. It isn't because I'm holier or more pious than you are. And it isn't because I am so good looking. It is, quote, for reason of order. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing back here. And I have been called, and I am comfortable being back here. Not set above you, even though I am standing on a step, but set apart for this work of ministry. That's why I'm doing this. Now, as we call down the Holy Spirit, I will extend my arms both over the gifts that we have been given and the people of God. And I say these words in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, and we ask that you pour down your Spirit upon us, that this meal may become for us a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Now, you didn't see any rays emitting from my hands, and I didn't channel God's enchantments in word and in gesture. On behalf of the body of Christ, the church, I am asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon us, that the presence of the risen Lord may be here, so that we are nourished by the body and blood of our Lord. We are made one with the risen Christ. We are united in faith with every believer in every time and place, and we've been given the strength to go out and do Jesus' work. I receive from the Lord what I hand on to you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, the Lord tells us, I am with them. for ages and ages, since the beginning of the church, we pray prayer of intercession. This is another one I just have to read. Our prayers should be as wide as God's love and as specific as God's tender care and compassion. How cool is that? As wide as God's love and as specific as God cares for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly God, we pray for the church. We pray for us here at Covenant. We pray for the church universal, all who minister and do your work. We pray for churches of every time and place. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for those in authority. We do pray for our president and Congress and Supreme Court and all the leaders of our nation and all the leaders of the many nations around the world. Help the world be converted to the law of love, to love God wholeheartedly and to love our neighbors as much as we can. Heavenly God, we pray that we take care of this earth which you declared good, and we use it well, and we are good stewards, and that you help us to love this world and to take care of it. Lord, we pray for those who govern here right in our Colorado Springs, southern Colorado, in our county. Pray for those first responders. We pray for those who need you today here in our nation, in our government, in our police, in our military. And Lord, be with the poor and the oppressed, the sick and the bereaved and the lonely, those who suffer in body and mind and spirit. We pray in thanksgiving for those who have gone before us in faith. And Lord, we also make supplication. We know that you let us, you give us the privilege of praying for ourselves in our lives and the ministries. So let us, Lord, now gather as one in silence and pray for that which we need most today. Amen. Our communion prayer can climax and culminate in the Lord's Prayer. This is the family prayer of the people of God. That's so cool. The family prayer of the people of God. It's our first prayer. It's our best prayer. And now let us join with our Savior and people from all over the world who believe and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I receive from the Lord what I pass on to you. And this now I'm going to start talking about the words of institution. And I have to start by saying it always does my heart so good when Reverend Lisa brings her children back here with her. It just makes my heart jump because it reminds me of when our oldest son Chuck was about Micah's age. How old is Micah?
Five.
Perfect. Yeah, because Chuck was perfect. Was not perfect. Chuck, you weren't perfect. You were five. Kim and I for years led family camp at Camp Calvin Crest near Fremont, Nebraska. And on Sunday morning, we always had each of the participants do a part of the worship service. We asked one family to take care of all the music, and they would lead music. Another family, they would say, pick scriptures, whatever scriptures, and reflect on the scriptures. And of course, we are the professional minister, so we did communion. After all, it's the professionals who have to do the words of institution. On that way back Sunday, the weather cooperated, and we were able to have it at this beautiful stone outdoor chapel. And one family did music and so on and so on, and it came time to communion, and Kim and I wanted to include our kids, so we brought the boys up. We handed Matt the bread and Chuck the cup, and then I drew a breath to do the prayer, and the words came flowing out, only they came out of Chuck's mouth, not mine. Suddenly, this five-year-old was doing the words of institution perfectly, solemnly and wonderfully. We could tell he understood them and that he was actually praying them. When Chuck finished, Kim and I looked at each other in complete bewilderment. First question is, when did he ever listen long enough to, you know? But then we got to worrying. Do we say the words again? He's never been ordained. Did they work? The Lord's Supper is important to our children, supremely important to our children, for all the right reasons, even if they are just squirts. Even as young people, Chuck and Matt never had the adult understanding of the miracle of the Lord's table and the communion elements, but they knew Christ was present in a special way in this communion. Our kids know that. Now, by the way, later at a different conference, Kim asked Professor of Liturgical Theology, Dr. Mark Achtermeyer, if communion counted because Squirt Chuck had said the words. And Professor Achtermeyer said, if Chuck said the words knowingly and with intent, his prayers were as good as ours. His prayers were as good as ours. Now, that really upset me. I went to seminary 5 years. And this is the title of my master's thesis, The Enrichment of Communion Ministers, a project submitted in partial fulfillment for the requirements of the degree of Master of Divinity by the Reverend Mr. Stephen Charles Knoefel. It's 150 pages, 2 years' work on the theology of communion, the history of the practice of communion, and a swell training program for communion ministers. 2 years' work. It was good work. I went and found it a couple of years ago. It's good stuff. I could actually write academia. Wow. And I really wasn't angry with Chuck for saying the words in them counting. That was just a way for me to get into who may receive communion. Now, I had this swell master's project, and I had to defend it before the faculty. So I actually wore slacks that day and a collared shirt and shoes that weren't made by an athletic manufacturer. And I go in, and this is the first question they asked me. When you are serving communion in a home and you drop it and a dog comes over and eats it up, has the dog just had communion? The top of my head blew off. I just spent 2 years of my life, and this is the best question you can ask me? Stupid question, right? There is such a thing as a stupid question. Can never happen, right? Let's fast forward a quarter of a decade later. It's a Saturday morning, a couple years ago, I went to the home of a truly wonderful gentleman, Kim, Bill Botwinis. And I set my sack of communion ware on between my legs. I sat on the couch, sat my sack down, and his Labrador doofusy, Labrador friendly as all get out, comes and sticks her head in my sack and eats up the communion bread. Now, Bill was aghast. He's poking her with his cane and scolding her. And, you know, it was in my mind. If a doggy ate communion, ate the bread, did it have communion? The answer is no. No. Even if the pooch had eaten up the communion bread after the words of institution, no. The doggy would not have had communion. The Lord's table is a gift of God for the people of God. It is given to us as the outward sign of the inward reality that God in Jesus Christ is with us in this special way. This is God's reality of God's grace in our salvation. The bread we eat and the cup we drink is to strengthen us spiritually for the journey. It is literally communion, fellowship with our Lord Jesus, and with the people of God of every time and in every place. All who believe in Christ must come to the table. Listen to this from the Book of Common Worship. I'm going to read it twice. Even one who doubts or whose faith and whose trust is wavering may come to the table in order to be assured of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. Even one who doubts, even if your trust and faith is wavering, come to the table in order to be assured of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. And our Book of Common Worship also reads, children who are being nurtured and instructed in the church are invited to receive the Lord's Supper, recognizing that their understanding and participation will vary according to their maturity. It varies with who we are.